Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I am so excited about this new series on the Gospel of Mark. We're just getting started. And today, a day, an amazing day in the ministry of Jesus. I know that you'll be blessed. And I'm excited because one of our team members is going to be leading the study. So, Puya, really looking forward to this study, focusing on Jesus. And great to see the team. Glad we can study about Jesus together. And we have some remote team members with us. Leah, great to have you with us again. Always glad you're here. Rodney, good to see you again. And Travis, good to see you with us remotely. You know, each one is important, including you, our team member around the world. Wherever you are, we are part of an in-depth interactive study together. So I hope you have your Bible ready. Get some paper ready. You can download the same outline that Puya will be using today to teach our study so that you can follow along, take notes, and we'd love to hear from you how you're blessed. You say, Derek, I think I'll start teaching a class. Awesome. We'd love to have you do that too. We're always happy to hear from you, our Hope Sabbath School members around the world. And it's a blessing, isn't it, to see what God's doing? Amen. So here's a note from an Ethiopian who lives in Missouri. That's quite away from home. Feleke writes to us and says, I was born in Ethiopia, but I now live in the great state of Missouri, USA. Mm-hmm. Almost 11 years ago, on Sabbath morning, we tried to watch our favorite channel. Somehow it didn't work, but we found Hope Sabbath School instead. Then we said, we like this channel too. Now we have two favorite channels. We continue studying the Word of God. Finding Hope Sabbath School, writes Feleke, was not an accident, but divine intervention. Do you believe that?
Yes. Amen.
Family, my family and I love you all. And we love the theme songs too. May God bless you and your ministry. Well, Feleke, thank you for taking the time to write to us from the state of Missouri here in the U.S. But we pray God's blessing also back home there in Ethiopia, that God will continue to draw hearts, preparing for the soon coming of Jesus. Amen. Here's a note from Calvin in the beautiful twin islands of Trinidad and Tobago. Hello, brothers and sisters in Christ. Hello. My name's Calvin. I'm from Trinidad and Tobago. I'm so happy for each one of you and for this program. Why? Because it helps me to understand the Bible better. Mm-hmm. And what I like about it is you guys are staying with the Bible.
Amen.
That's what Hope Sabbath School is all about, isn't it? An in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. Little handwritten note from Georgia, the state of Georgia in the U.S. And the donor writes and says, Hope Sabbath School is a pure blessing in my life.
Hallelujah.
The team really helps me, helps the Bible make sense to me this time around. This is my seventh time reading the Bible. I'm glad to donate to Hope Channel. Blessings to all. And a donation of $100.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you so much, donor. You know who you are. And thanks to each one of you. You say, Derek, that's what's that going to do? Answer, it's going to help someone like the YouTuber watching in Saudi Arabia who just wrote to us to hear that there's a God who loves her or loves him with an immeasurable, unfailing love. Mm-hmm. I mean, somebody ought to say praise God, right?
Amen.
Yes. Thank you, donor in Georgia. And thank you to each one of you. If you say, Derek, I'd like to help too. Thank you. Just go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. We're a donor-supported ministry. Say, Derek, I want to be part of the miracle. Click on the donate button there, and thank you for your support. You can also get an address if you'd like to write to us and send a donation. One last note. This is interesting. Someone from South Sudan living in Switzerland.
Wow.
We're an international family, aren't we? Mm-hmm. Ajith writes to us and says, hello, Hope Sabbath School.
Hello.
I'm amazed at the wonderful job you guys are doing. Well, we'd say the wonderful job God's doing.
Amen. Amen.
Right? Through us. But he uses people. It makes the Bible simple for us to study. We're hearing that over and over, aren't we? May our beloved God bless you and the whole Hope Sabbath School family worldwide.
Amen.
I'm from South Sudan, living in Switzerland. Well, Ajit, thanks for writing to us. We're glad that you're part of our family. Right? You write to us again. Tell us how you ended up in Switzerland. My great-grandmother came from Switzerland, so I love that part of the world. But there must be a story how God led you there. I just want to remind you about the amazing resource that we have for this series. You see, we don't just want to learn facts about Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. We want to take steps to a life-changing relationship with Jesus. Right. So the book we have for you, a free gift, available on our website in more than 100 languages, is called Steps to Christ. Mm. Just go to our website, hopetv.org/hopess, click on the free gift tab, and it will tell you how to download that free gift. I know it's blessed my life. It's a powerful book, short, simple, but life-changing. Get your copy, share it with a friend in whatever language he or she reads. I know you'll be blessed. By the way, while you're there, you can download our theme song. You say, Derek, I've already learned it from last week. Well, great. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord
at
all times. Let's sing it together. Bless the Lord at all times, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. I will bless the Lord at all times, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. I will bless the Lord at all times, praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt His name together. Thanks for leading us in prayer as we study, will you?
Shall we pray? Our loving Heavenly Father God, we thank You so much for this opportunity to study Your Word again. Today, as we open the book of Mark, the stories that He has written about Jesus, we want to see Jesus, Lord. We want to understand more about Him. So please, through the power of the Holy Spirit, speak to us and speak through us. We pray not only for our team members here, but we pray for all Hope Sabbath School members from around the world.
Amen.
Wherever it is that they're watching this from, we pray that, Lord, You will be speaking to them as well. We thank You and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, before we begin our study, as we were singing that song from Psalm 34, I really love that verse 4. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears.
Amen.
And I want to speak to you, our viewers from home. Maybe you're going through challenges in your life, or maybe you are afraid of the future, or maybe you have some fears that you don't know how to conquer. Well, stay tuned and study with us, because we are going to be looking at stories of Jesus setting people free from their fears and bondage. So study with us as we go into our lesson number 2 of this quarter, or this series on the Gospel according to Mark. And today our lesson title is A Day in the Ministry of Jesus. In our previous lesson, we have learned about the author of this book, the Gospel of Mark. Although technically it's the Gospel of Jesus, according to Mark, we have learned that Mark was also known as John, and his surname is Mark. He followed Barnabas and Paul, and we have learned that he was a faithful follower of Jesus. So let's go into our study now and look at the first chapter of Mark. And Harold, if you can begin our study by reading Mark chapter 1, verse 16 to 20, let's see how Mark records the beginning of the call of Jesus to his disciples. Yes.
And I'll be reading it from the English Standard Version. And it reads, "Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him."
Thank you for reading. Wow, what a short description of a lot of events happening there. Imagine someone coming to you while you're working and say, "Follow me." How likely would it be for you to leave behind everything that you're doing and follow the person who just calls you? So obviously, maybe there is some context to this story, right? So my question for us today is, why do you think Mark record this call of Jesus for the disciples at the beginning of this gospel record without mentioning the earlier stories that we may find in the other gospel writers' accounts? Anyone? Brittany.
I think he just wanted to focus on how Jesus came to make disciples and how he called the disciples to go make other disciples. And that was his focus, because he's sharing. We already learned he's going right ahead to say Jesus is the chosen one, the Messiah. And these are his disciples that are going to spread the gospel to the world.
Right. So his focus is on discipleship. So he entered straight into the point. Scott, I saw your hand too.
Yeah, I was going to say something very similar to what Brittany just said. It's just so to the point, the background doesn't serve his purpose. His purpose is he's going forward toward the cross. He's just going that direction constantly.
Okay, so he's going towards the cross, which is ultimately the main point about this good news, right? Now, the invitation of Jesus is very concise and short. He didn't say anything else. He just said, "Follow me." Any comment on that concise nature of the call of Jesus? Lilika.
He wanted to emphasize the power of Jesus, I would say. He went straight, this is the Messiah, and when he acts in our lives, this is how we behave.
Okay. Harold?
Well, we can't forget that there's context that he's missing, because in the other Gospels, that actually many of these disciples, they were already following John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was already predicting that Jesus was going to come. So they had some knowledge already about this Messiah that was supposed to come and was already among their midst.
Thank you for sharing this. Kenneth?
Yeah, so one of the things I'm getting from Mark is the urgency.
The urgency.
And also the fact that Jesus' ministry, he is fixated on his ministry. So he's not going around anything. So that is a distinctive feature of Mark, focusing on the urgency of Jesus' message.
What common word do you see so often, even in the first chapter alone?
So some words like immediately.
Immediately.
Right away.
Immediately. Right after this, immediately. Yeah. So it's full of action. So Mark is not writing too much about the background context because he wants to get straight to the point and present the story of Jesus as a moving, a fast-paced moving ministry, right? Mm. Now, what were the occupation of these early or first disciples that Jesus called?
Fishermen.
Anybody knows the name of the four first disciples that Jesus called? Someone might say Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but it is not, is it?
Simon.
Anyone?
Andrew.
Okay. Sabina, you mentioned a few names.
Simon, Andrew.
Simon, who is also known as Peter.
Right. So also James.
James.
And John.
John. Okay.
And just to give some context, there were other disciples, mm-hmm. Philip, Nathaniel, John right. chapter 1. So back to what Harold said, and this is during the Galilean ministry after the imprisonment of John the Baptist. So actually, Andrew and Peter have been following Jesus before this time, mm-hmm. but apparently not full time. Yes. They've not yep. left everything, yep. right?
Yeah.
And so there were other disciples. Philip's mentioned, Nathaniel's mentioned, later, mm-hmm. of course, Matthew and others. But there's something significant about this call to follow me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you read in John, they say, where are you staying? And they right. go and he's given the name, his name Simon, he's given the name Peter. But here, it's really a definite break with Ooh. The past. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, they leave, and John and mm-hmm. James, of course, are included too. So right. I don't know that we could call these the first four disciples, mm-hmm. but these are four of the disciples.
Mm-hmm. At least the early disciples probably right. are, yes.
Because Philip and Nathaniel were called in John chapter 1, which yes. is
right.
quite a while earlier. Mm-hmm. But I think I never understood that they didn't all follow him first
full time
right away. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That it took time, and finally they were like, okay, leave it all, leave the nets, leave Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants,
uh-huh. mm-hmm.
and follow me full time.
Now from that, Derek, it's even more meaningful that Jesus is saying, follow me. Mm-hmm. There's a higher expectation probably. I want to ask Travis to read for us John chapter 1, 35 to 42. Travis, if you can take us there. And let's see the background information that Harold has mentioned about the fact that these disciples probably had some prior introduction to Jesus.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Again, the next day, John stood with his two disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher," "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone.
Mm, okay. Mm. So thank you, Travis, for reading that. So from that context, we see that, yes, they have been introduced to Jesus before, prior to Jesus calling them to leave everything behind. Right, Lilika? Mm-hmm.
The book of Mark was an account of Peter. Right? And even the early church called the book as the gospel according to Peter. And we notice that it starts saying that Jesus saw Peter first and then Andrew. So probably I would suggest, because Peter was talking of himself, it starts saying, you know, and Jesus addressed to him first then.
Well, according to this account, Mark did say that Andrew found him first
yeah.
and went and mm-hmm. called his brother, Peter, mm-hmm. to say, "We have found the Messiah." Yeah. But as Derek mentioned, probably they didn't follow him full time. Mm-hmm. And now mm-hmm. we come back to the account of Mark, where Jesus invited them, "Follow me." Mm-hmm. And they left
everything
behind immediately. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. So I have a question for us here. Maybe it's time for testimony. What has Jesus called you in your life And a part of that calling to leave behind things that may not be a part of the calling as you are following Jesus as his disciple. Mm. Anyone? Or what did you leave behind when you made the decision to follow Jesus full time? Mm. Anyone? Sabina?
I think I really identify with this, the fact that they were in the middle of their workplace, because that's similar to what has happened to me not long ago, maybe like 10 years ago. I had a different profession and I was working full time within that profession. And there I heard God was calling me into full time ministry. And I had to trust in his kind invitation, because he doesn't force us. You see, even here, Jesus was as powerful as he was not controlling nobody to go, but he was at the same time asking things that were at high stake. It's like, you're going to leave now your profession, and you're going to teach you a new way. And so I think that for me, that was one big decision that I had to make in life, shifting my career, and that required a lot of dependency and faith, and the ability to resource to a reservatory of experiences that I had lived already with God. So I wonder for them, because it was new, right? They had seen some things, but it was even a higher level of trust that they had to have than maybe I had. Wow.
Thank you for sharing your story. I believe another lesson we can also learn here is that while Jesus did have very well-educated disciples, right? Education wasn't the primary requirement to follow Jesus, right? Anyone can follow Jesus as long as they're willing to surrender to him and leave behind maybe the things that are hindering us from having a personal relationship with Jesus, right? Brittany, and then we'll move on to the next part of our study.
I also like in John's account how first they heard John say, "This is the Lamb of God," and then they said, "I want to spend time with you, Jesus, and find out for myself." Yeah. So many times people will hear about who this Jesus, they hear the word Jesus, and God doesn't want us to just take somebody else's word for who he is. He wants us to come and spend time with him.
Come and see.
Come in and figure out if he truly is who people claim he is. And I think that's very important. We see in the disciples who followed him, first they heard someone else say, "This is the one that was the Messiah," but then they went and found out for themselves. So we need to be seekers for ourselves of a personal relationship with Jesus.
Thank you, Brittany. That's a powerful, powerful story and reflection there. I just want to speak to our viewers at home. Maybe you have heard about this Jesus person so many times in your life from preachers or other people. And as Brittany mentioned, maybe you want to spend time with him and read the story for yourself. Right. Sometimes we depend too much on what people are saying, but there's a beauty of coming and spending time with Jesus ourselves to see if he really is who he says he is.
Right.
Let's continue our study in the same chapter, Mark, verse 21 to 28. And let me ask Raquel to read this for us and see what lessons we can learn from this portion. Mark chapter 1, verse 21 to 28.
Okay, I will be reading from the New International Version. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly, "come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority? He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee.
Oh, wow. That's a powerful story of Jesus setting someone free. What important can we learn from this story that took place in Capernaum? Apparently, it was the Sabbath, right? I see Rodney. Rodney, can you share with us what lessons we can learn from this story?
Puya, when I read this story, I shuddered, actually, because what caught my attention is that the Bible says that in the synagogue was someone that was demon-possessed. In other words, Mm-hmm. Not everyone that we see going to the synagogue or to church or to the temple may be followers of Jesus, you know, and it is really shocking to know that someone can be in the temple or in the synagogue or in the church that is demon possessed.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. That's one side of the reflection. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Scott.
You know, I noticed it said that they were astonished at Jesus' teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority. And so they could tell even just from one little bit that Jesus was someone who was very different from anyone else they'd heard before. And I think that's why you saw that strong demonic response too, because Jesus is just so different.
Right. And notice that Jesus commanded the evil spirit to be quiet. Why was there a need for Jesus to command the evil spirit to be quiet? Because it's interesting to note that while the people may not fully know that Jesus is the Messiah, the evil spirits knew. But Jesus was saying, be quiet. Why was that? Mm-hmm. Anyone? Kenneth?
Yeah, because the text gave us that he cried out loud, that let us alone. So I think maybe it was also destructive to what Jesus was doing.
Okay. All right. Sabina, I see your hand.
I think that even from our previous lesson, we've been discussing how there was a timing in which things were developing. And it seems to me like Jesus, he still wanted to conceal certain things to allow for the continuation of his ministry. He was already started to be confronted, right, by Sadducees, Pharisees, and people that didn't want him to follow throughout the ministry. So I think in some ways, he was trying to kind of avoid complications out of that. That's one of the things that I see happening here.
Right. That is correct, right? With the context of the political overtones of the messianic expectation of the people, where they wanted someone to come and deliver them from the Roman occupation. Maybe if everyone was told, here is the Messiah, it might cause an early premature issues and challenges for Jesus that would prevent him from being able to reach people to their hearts.
Right.
You know, what I found really encouraging, Puhia, is even though I imagine, like Rodney said, the demon-possessed man, but I imagine he wanted to be free.
Amen. Right. Mm.
So while the demon wants to disrupt the ministry of Jesus, the man wants to be free. And so, you know, I imagine him. Some of you know my grandparents were involved with the occult, so I know that battle. I imagine him opening his mouth and wanting to cry out, Jesus, help me. And instead the demon speaks.
Right.
But I'm just so thankful today that Jesus hears our heart cry.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Even when we can't get the words out.
That's powerful.
Hear my cry, O God, you know. And of course, Jesus sets the man free. Praise
his God.
Amen.
I sought the Lord and he heard me.
Deliver me.
Even if you cannot say it out loud, God hears our hearts and he delivers us. Raquel, I see your hand.
Similar to those lines, I also find interesting that at the end of the day, was demon possessed. There was an impure spirit. And so sometimes the devil wants to distract us, like we were saying. Sometimes, even though it's in a church setting, he's trying to do something bad, but God can make something great come out of that. Because through that, people were able to say, wow, I'm amazed, something's different. So sometimes in our lives, we may go through experiences where like, oh, I'm late to work, or my tire was flat. But God can take those experiences in our lives that seem like they're distracting us or taking us away and actually do a testimony through that.
Wow, beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. God can turn our difficult experiences into something beautiful.
Amen. Amen.
And I believe this is so powerful because no matter what we are going through, no matter what the enemy may put upon us and no matter what addiction someone may be struggling with, there is power in the name of
Amen.
Jesus and there is freedom.
Amen.
We can be set free as long as we seek the Lord.
Amen.
He will deliver us.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Powerful stories. Let's go now to verse 29 to 31 of the same chapter, Mark 1. And let me ask Allie to read that for us. And let's see that story of Jesus healing the mother-in-law of Simon Peter.
Mm-hmm. It's Mark 1:29
to 31.
To 31. All right. I'll be reading from New King James Version. The Bible says, "Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she served them."
Wow. Mm-hmm. Any comment or any lesson we can learn from the story of Jesus intentionally taking the time to heal Simon Peter's mother-in-law? Mm-hmm. Brittany.
He doesn't just care about people who didn't know who he was, like unbelievers. He also cares about those who follow him, and he takes care of our needs. Mm. So, you know, they were probably worried about their mother-in-law, about the mother. And Jesus cares about our family members just as much as he cares about those who don't know him.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Leah and then Rodney.
When I had first started studying this, I had assumed that it was a healing that was done to kind of boost their faith in Jesus. But then I realized how oftentimes when you're involved in ministry, it's hard to focus when you have things going on in your personal life that are worrying you or that are undone. So I think part of why he did this healing was so that they didn't have things to worry about at home and they could focus on their ministry with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that, Rodney. Mm-hmm.
You know, Leah used the word personal just now, and what I noticed about this healing was Jesus used a very personal touch. Mm. The Bible says that he came over to her, he took her by the hand, and lifted her up. Mm. It reminds me of when we go back to the book of Genesis, how God carefully carved man out of the dust of the earth, and then he breathed into man the breath of life. It's a very personal touch he used in healing Peter's mother-in-law. And I think he wanted to send a message not only to Peter's mother-in-law, but also to Peter and the rest of the disciples and those who are looking on, that I'm indeed, yes, I'm the Messiah, but I'm also a very, very personal God to you.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. We have to move on, and I want to ask Lilika to read for us verses 32 to 34 of Mark chapter 1, and let's continue to see the story unfolding here.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him."
Mm. Wow. Now imagine, this was on the Sabbath that Jesus went to the synagogue with his disciples. And probably they came back to Simon Peter's house to take a rest, on the Sabbath day. Mm-hmm. And he healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. As soon as the sun went down, maybe news has traveled throughout the whole town. According to this text, it did say the whole city was gathered at the door. Imagine, I don't know how big Simon Peter's house was, but I believe it was, you know, like a regular house. And imagine the whole city wanting to see Jesus.
Right.
Wow, powerful story. What are your thoughts about this event that is described here, this on this day, very specific day? Sabina.
So for me, it really stands out and shouts out the love and compassion of Jesus, because I personally experienced that when I'm spending time with people, like leading them to know more about God, studying the Bible with them, even ministering. Last week, I had to minister to a couple who they are experiencing, you know, demonic activity in their household. Mm. It can be very draining, very tiresome. And when I look at that and imagine the ways that Jesus were engaging with every single person, even though we know that he would take time alone at times, it's still, this is a lot. Mm-hmm. And I see here a God who is really compassionate, and that inspires me even in my ministry.
Wow, beautiful. Amen. So the lesson here is, as long as we come to Jesus, we will never be rejected by him.
Amen.
The whole city came to meet Jesus and anyone who needed healing.
Yeah.
regardless of what sickness or what demonic possession or whatever it was that they were struggling with, Jesus set them all free.
Amen.
That's praise a powerful God. Story, right?
Yeah.
Raquel, your comment, and then we'll move on.
Mm-hmm. I also feel like it's a way to see that Jesus relates to us. Mm. Somehow, when I've always pictured the miracles in the Bible, I imagine that they took an hour and then he was done for the rest of the day, just the way the story spaced out. Mm-hmm. But when I noticed that this all happened in one day, it reminds us, even of saying, sometimes ministry can be exhausting. Sometimes you have those Sabbaths that are jam-packed from you teaching and singing and ministry in the afternoon and even into the evening, doing a social with young people. And as a leader, you can be exhausted, but you can say, Jesus did it too. I can find strength because he as well went through this as well.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you for sharing that, because the next part of our study is going to pick up on right that topic, right? Jesus was exhausted, but let's see what he did the next morning. It probably took him a lot of hours in that evening because the whole city came after sunset, right? So probably took hours and hours to heal everybody. So let's continue our study here. I want to ask Travis to read for us Mark chapter 1, verse 35 this time. And let's see what Jesus did the next morning.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed.
Wow. Mm-hmm. There he prayed. What can we learn about the prayer life of Jesus from this verse? Anyone? Harold?
I mean, it was very important. Actually, that was his source of power, like reconnecting with the Father, because he couldn't do anything without the Father. Mm. And he even said, I don't do my own will. I do the will of the Father. Mm. And plus, you know, he was communicating. Communication with the Father is also very important. It's something that we should all do to be refreshed, because he can also reveal to us through the Holy Spirit encouraging messages that at times we forget.
Right. If Jesus, the Son of God, needed to pray, how much more would we need to pray, right? Kenneth, would you take us to the next two verses there in Mark 1, verses 36 to 37?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and you read, "And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you."
What do you think about this? Like, Jesus was just taking some time to pray early in the morning, and then people are already looking for him. I thought the whole city came the previous night.
Yeah.
Who else wanted to see him? Well, people wanted to spend more time with Jesus, probably. Right? This is so interesting. Now, back to the point about prayer. I want to ask a question here. What are some things that can distract us in our lives from spending quality time with God in prayer? Scott, I see your hand.
You know, I was thinking about that busy day that Jesus had. And I know when I've had a busy day, the last thing I want to do is get up early the next morning. And that bed can be very tempting. And I think that can be a big distraction for us.
Okay. All right.
Just being too busy with stuff.
Yes. Okay. That's a good point. Busyness, right, Derek?
You know, it's not just bad people who can distract us. These are his disciples, but they don't understand. Like, everybody's looking for you. They don't understand, like Harold said, how important this time of prayer with his Father in heaven really is. So we may find even family members or friends, they just don't understand. But we need to realize that without prayer, we are weak.
Right. So it could be our business of work, could be our friends or family.
Or problems.
Problems that can distract us, right? Lilika?
I found out that a cell phone.
Cell phone.
Distracts me. If I look into it all night, then in the morning I can wake up. He said Jesus woke up a long while before, and he went to a solitary place.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. I'm sure there are 100 distractions that can pull us away from spending quality time with God. But the important lesson here is, if Jesus prayed to God every day, drawing inspiration and power, we should do the same, right? Derek mentioned just now that the disciples didn't understand the importance of prayer. Let's go to Mark chapter 14. Verses 32 to 40, and I want to ask Raquel to read this for us.
Mark chapter 14, verses 32 to 40. And let's look at the disciples of Jesus in their prayer lifestyle at this point in history.
I'll be reading from the New International Version. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." He said to them, "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more, he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer."
Thank you for reading that text. So this was the night that Jesus was arrested. We're fast forwarding to the end of the story of Jesus here before the cross. And Jesus needed his disciples to pray with him. And yet, what do we see here from the disciples? Have they learned the importance of prayer yet? No. Sabina.
We see Jesus consistent with his prayer life. And the disciples in the other end, just like before in the beginning of the ministry, at the end they are still inconsistent with their prayer life and not fully understanding the importance of it.
Right. Now imagine if they had prayed with Jesus that night in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the hour finally came where Jesus was arrested and crucified. Who knows if their faith would have been strong enough to follow Jesus until the very end, like John the Beloved, you know, till the cross. But most of them, basically all of them except John, fled.
Right.
So this tells us about the importance of prayer and staying close to Jesus. Let's now go to Acts, the book of Acts, and at least the story has a redemption here that maybe the disciples finally learned the importance of prayer. We'll read a few verses here. I want to ask Leah to read for us Acts chapter 1, verse 14. And then I will ask Brittany to read for us Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And then let's come to Travis to read for us Acts chapter 6, verse 4. So let's start with Leah, Brittany, and then Travis.
Reading from the English Standard Version, and it reads, "All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers."
Thank you. Let's come to Brittany.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers."
Thank you. And Travis, chapter 6, verse 4 of Acts.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word."
Okay. So what? When did the disciples finally learn the importance of prayer for ministry? Lilika.
After Jesus' resurrection. Now they fully understand their mission and they know the situation they are in. Just to say that when sometimes we don't know the affliction of the other person, we cannot relate and seek the Lord much in prayer. But as that heavy burn, our heart is heavy, like Jesus at that point, he knew that he had to spend time or he needed it.
Harold and then Derek, yeah?
I think Lika hit it. She mentioned the mission. Actually, I see prayer as a way to refocus and not lose sight of the mission that we have, because I've noticed with my own self, when I don't pray, when I get distracted, even when doing good things, I lose sight of why am I doing this? I forget, hey, there is a mission to be accomplished. There's people to be saved. there's a lot of work to be done, but I need to get my strength not from my own self, but from the Lord Jesus, because he will give me the instructions, he will give me the tools that I need to help facilitate this work that needs to be accomplished according to his leading. It is his work, but he needs us to fulfill it.
Thank you. Derek?
Mm-hmm. Huy, I thought about your comment that how would the story have been different if they had heeded the appeal of Jesus to tarry with them in prayer? And I wonder if people like Simon Peter thinking how the story would have been different when someone said, are you a follower of Jesus? And instead of denying Jesus and cursing, he would have said, yes, I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Right.
So I think there was time to reflect and say, how would things have been different? Because they knew Jesus was committed to prayer. And I'm just thankful for the patience of God.
Amen.
Because he doesn't abandon them, but they do learn that without prayer that they are really in a very vulnerable situation.
Right. So in the same ways, maybe we have made the decision to follow Jesus many years ago, but we probably didn't learn the importance of prayer in our daily relationship with Jesus. Would anyone want to share maybe a moment or a time when you discovered how important prayer is for your relationship with God? Ellie, I see your hand.
Yes, I was having my devotional. It was my first time reading the book Steps to Christ. And there is a quote that says, the prayer is the breath of the soul. And I was like, I had this click in my mind. I was like, wow, I've never seen or heard anyone breathing only like 2 minutes before breakfast, 4 minutes before lunch, and 5 minutes before going to sleep, going to bed, right? And I was like, I need this constantly dependence upon God. If I need to breathe in order to live, I need to pray. If not, my spiritual side will die. I need to seek constantly the guidance of God, his comfort, his dependence through life. And I need his constant prayer.
Wow. Thank you for sharing this. Kenneth.
Yeah. I think it's about maybe 15 years ago when I spent some time with a very international evangelist. It was at a youth conference. And I asked a question. Then the answer he gave me is that when you see someone presenting maybe a 10 minutes or a 1 hour sermon or preaching, you have no idea how much of prayer and studies have gone into that time. So that was a time I realized that when I see, let's say, these Bible studies that we are having, how the whole thing is being put together, behind the scene, the one who is leading out takes a lot of time praying and seeking God direction as to how to go about it. So that was when I realized that there's a lot of things that goes into something sometimes we take it for granted.
Right. Wow, there's so much to learn from this theme of the importance of prayer. The bottom line is, if Jesus prayed and the disciples finally learned to pray and receive success in their ministry, in their lives, we should do the same. Pray in the morning, pray at noon times, pray in the evening. And sometimes maybe it's just a thought that we sent up to God, even without saying out loud words, right? We may say, you know, in our hearts, talking to God, sharing him our joy and experiences as well as our requests.
Amen.
Sabina, I'll take your comment and then we'll move on to the last part of our study.
I just also wanted to bring forth the importance of prayer while doing ministry. You know, I have recently really engaged with the prayer ministry in my church as we reach out to people from outside of the church. And the reality is that a lot of individuals, they may not take an invitation to study the Bible, but they will take an invitation for you to receive, if they want to receive prayer. So you have hosted multiple prayer, you know, individual prayer sessions. And we are finding that that's a way that God can work also in the lives of those who may not yet have an experience with Jesus. And so I just wanted to leave an encouragement also for us to use prayer to, you know, display that love of God to others.
Wow, that's very good. For some, when you say prayer, maybe they have an idea of chanting some words that are pre-recorded or written that you have to repeat time and time again. But the truth is, prayer is just talking to God as a friend. Rodney, I see your hands. We'll take your comment and then please take us next to Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 42.
Yes, just like to highlight the balance that Jesus displayed in the narrative that we just read, where you saw him providing service to the community. Then early in the morning, he prayed. Mm-hmm. In fact, when the disciples found him, Jesus was pointing them to another field where he needed to go and to minister. Mm-hmm. So the balance between praying fervently and also service, because when we do pray, well, what we are praying for is guidance and direction for us to also act. And so the Holy Spirit will reveal to us in prayer mm-hmm. what we need to do along our Christian journey. So sometimes I've seen us pray where we should be acting, meaning that we're doing the praying because we don't want to act. Mm-hmm. In other words, our prayer should be for the guidance of the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. and for us to act accordingly based on what God is telling us to do. Ah. Now, I think you said Mark 1 and verse 40 to 42.
Okay, can you read down to verse 45? Yeah, mm-hmm. verse 40 to 45.
Sure. All right, so Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Mm-hmm. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places. And they came to him from every direction.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rodney, for reading that section of Mark chapter 1. So we find the story of the leper. Right back in those days, mm-hmm. lepers were not allowed to be among the crowd or people in general. They were shunned and they were moved away from society. Mm-hmm. So now imagine this leper who was not accepted by society mm-hmm. coming to Jesus. Probably he had hope. Maybe mm-hmm. he had heard about Jesus healing all kinds of diseases. Maybe he started thinking, could he also heal someone like me? Mm-hmm. What can we learn from this leper and what he said to Jesus in the first part? Harold?
No, I see where it says, "if you will," like he's not like demanding, "please do it now," but he's like, it seems like he has a humble spirit. Like, "Lord, right. if you're willing, because I've probably heard about you, mm-hmm. can you make me clean?"
Right.
And of course,
he had faith.
Yeah, he had faith. He knew, but I just love that he was humble. That, I mean, I don't know if he will be happy to continue living a leper if Jesus mm-hmm. didn't heal him. Mm. But yet, you know, he made that option available.
Right. So he had faith to come to Jesus and say, "If you are willing, I know you can heal me because you healed all these other diseases."
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Brittany, what was the response of Jesus according to Mark? What did Jesus feel?
Compassion.
Compassion.
You can see his heart of love and compassion for each person who's suffering.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So if anyone is listening today suffering, there is hope in Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus can heal us. And Jesus has compassion on all of us,
Amen.
No matter what struggle we're going through, right? Mm-hmm. Now, why did Jesus commanded this person not to share this news yet? we see this theme time and time again, Scott.
Mm. Well, you know, part of the reason we see later on in the passage where it says Jesus can no longer openly enter towns.
Ah.
You know, he had become a celebrity.
Mm.
And so it impacted his ability to minister. Mm-hmm. And Jesus, you know, we talked earlier about how Jesus had a certain timeline and stirring up controversy too soon would have been a problem. But in this case, it wasn't the controversy. It was just that it interfered with his ability to do ministry.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Wow. So no matter how good our intention may be to share that Jesus has done the impossible, Could it be that there are times that we need to ask God for wisdom on when to share it and where to share it?
Yeah. Yes.
Right? Because even if I have a very good intention,
right,
I could be hindering the timing of God, right?
Yes.
So we need to pray, once again, coming back to that prayer, asking God, God, let me know when you want me to share this. But if you have been set free from Jesus, you won't be able to keep quiet because it's good news, right? So final question here. What lessons can we learn from this story for our lives today? Rodney.
Can I just highlight again yet the personal nature of how Jesus healed this leper? Back then, you were not even to be anywhere near a leper, but Jesus literally reached out in a personal way to touch that leper. And so it is with us today. Jesus is ready, available to anyone who is willing to give their hearts to him.
Beautiful. Kenneth, one last comment.
The beautiful thing is when he was a leper, when he's coming to any place where other people are, he needs to shout out. So now he's using the same voice and by the grace of God to talk about what Jesus has done for him. So it's a beautiful thing.
Beautiful redemption.
Right.
And I want to come to you, our viewers at home. We have learned today that Jesus called his disciples to follow him and they left everything behind. Maybe Jesus is calling you too to take the next step of commitment. Maybe there are some things that are distracting you from not being able to fully commit to Jesus. So I invite you to look at the person of Jesus, read his stories. And the next part of our study today taught us that Jesus prayed every day. So we should learn to pray too. And finally, here's this beautiful story about a leper being cleansed, right? Just like the person who was possessed by demons, Jesus could heal any person. Maybe you're struggling from the guilt of sin and addiction. Come to Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus can set you free. If Jesus was able to heal everybody, he can heal you too.
Amen.
That's our study for today. Derek, would you lead us towards the conclusion?
Thank you so much. What a blessing. I'm kind of amazed, actually. This was just a day in the life of Jesus, a ministry day, and yet a day that still had the balance of time seeking God, time being alone with God, to know, Lord, what do you want me to do? And you know, that leper, he thought he was being helpful, but he actually, by disobeying Jesus, caused an obstacle. So I just want to also appeal to each one of us, including myself, to say, let's just be obedient to what Jesus asks us to do, because he ultimately knows how the mission will be best fulfilled. But he knows, I know he loves us, and he welcomes us, and he wants us to be with him in his mission. Let's pray. Father in heaven, it's amazing that you'd use frail people like us. We see Jesus and we go, Jesus, you are so amazing. But you also call us to join you in the mission. May we do what you asked us to do, go where you asked us to go, say what you want us to say, and know when to be silent, that your mission would be accomplished. And we'll give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. We're just getting started with this amazing journey in the Gospel of Mark. The truth about Jesus, what it means for your life today. Take what you've learned, go out and be a blessing to those around you.